1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. And we shall know by this that we are of the truth, and we shall assure our heart before him in whatever our heart condemns us. For God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. And the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And we know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this portion of your word. We thank you for the confidence that believers can have in the finished work of Jesus Christ for our salvation, for peace with you, and for the assurance of a home in heaven when we die. Lord, we pray that we might each have that comfort this morning as we look at Jesus and his sacrifice and are reminded of what he's done on our behalf. And Lord, we know that our good works always fall short, even as Christians. We do good works not to earn your favor, because even our best good works fall short and are tainted by our sinful nature and selfishness at times. But we know that you have made provision for our sins through the gift of your Son, Jesus. And it's in him that we trust and have our confidence before you today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To talk about having confidence is not a bad thing. It's encouraged, of course, in our culture, and we're encouraged to have self-confidence. There's a dear lady in the first church that we served. Her name is Lillian, and she and her husband were both from Norway, and just a delightful couple. We enjoyed getting to know them, but she talked about her growing up in Norway and what it was like for her at that time and some other details, of course. But she said, you know, Pastor, when I was a young girl, this is the attitude of our culture. You never think highly of yourself. The idea that we always, and I hear it in my household sometimes, you make a good meal, oh, it was easy, or it was simple. Or I remember my grandma would spend all day in the kitchen on Thanksgiving and Christmas and make a big meal for the whole family. Oh, it was nothing. It was something. It was a big something. But that's in that culture, especially the Scandinavian culture at that time, you don't praise yourself. You kind of put yourself down. And some of that, not everyone here is Scandinavian, but some of that I've seen in Lutheran churches over the years. If I were to ask someone, if you were to die today, do you know for certain that you'd go to heaven? Sometimes people will look down at the floor a little bit. Well, I hope so. And that's a good, humble answer. But if the question is, based on your own good works and your own merit before God, are you going to go to heaven when you die? We can give a solid answer of, no, I could never make it to heaven by my own good works. And then the question, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? For the person that's trusting in Christ, the finished work that he's done for us, we can say for certain, not patting ourselves on the back, but we can say, I know I have the gift of eternal life because of what Jesus has done for me. It's not boasting in me, it's boasting in the Lord. And that's the kind of boasting that we're encouraged to do. It's praise to God to say, I cannot save myself, but I trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ to save me, to give me peace with God, and to assure me of a home in heaven. Is it possible to know this side of death, whether or not we're going to heaven? Yes, it is. Is it prideful to say, I know I'm going to heaven? It's prideful if it's based on my good works. I'm such a good person, I know I'm going to heaven. That would be sinful, that would be prideful. But if we say, I know based on the finished work of Jesus on my behalf, that's humility. That's not trusting in my own good works, but trusting in what Jesus has done for me. And as we look at this portion of Scripture today, we see that having assurance of our salvation, knowing that I have that forgiveness of my sins, gives us the ability to live in a confident fellowship with God and service to our neighbor. If I'm freed to not try and earn anything with God, I'm freed to be kind and forgiving and a servant to my neighbor and those around me, beginning in my own family. So we look at verses 19 and 20. We see that, first of all, the believer lives in the assurance of salvation. It's the normal thing for us to be living and walking and trusting that we have that assurance of salvation. Verse 19, we know that we belong to the truth. By this we shall know by this that we are of the truth, and that this goes back to verses 16 through 18, right before this. We know love by this, that he laid his life down for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The idea that Jesus sacrificed himself, and therefore, because of his sacrifice, because we've been freed by him, we're free to serve, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then verse 17 says, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, closes his heart to him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. If I say God loves you, James says, if I say be warm and be filled to someone in need, that's not showing forth my faith. We're called to love not just in words, but also in actions. And we can do that based on the truth that we have, based on that assurance that we have, that we are of the truth. We belong to Jesus. We also, as we go on, we know that sometimes we can have that confidence, we can have that assurance, and then something happens, and then we struggle with guilt that seems to not go away. We can enjoy our hearts being at rest as we look at the second part of verse 19 and verse 20. We shall assure our heart before him. And that phrase is literally to convince the heart or to persuade the heart. It's the idea of to exhibit confidence and assurance in a situation which might otherwise cause dismay or fear. It is to be confident or to be assured. And we will be confident in his presence. The Lutheran Study Bible has as a footnote on verse 19, to love one another as Jesus loved us flows from a genuine saving faith. Believers are reassured as the Lord keeps his promises to bless them through his means of grace. Again, the idea that God gives to us and then that overflows to other people. That confidence before him. And sometimes we might struggle with that confidence. Again, when we look to our feelings, someone has said, we feel with our feelings, but we don't trust our feelings. And I think that's very wise. Sometimes our feelings might be, well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if God still loves me. We're told in verse 20 that in whatever our heart condemns us, we can put our heart to rest by the promises of God's word. And then in verse 20, the second part of it says that we can be assured because God transcends our hearts. Even when we struggle with guilt, And we confess that, and we still feel like it's still a nagging sense of guilt or condemnation. We don't rest there. We go back to God's attitude toward us and God's love for us. God is greater than our heart and knows all things. God knows. And God's promises are more powerful and more trustworthy than any feelings or decisions we make based on the circumstances that we see around us. Looking at verses 21 through 24, we see that the believer lives with confidence before God. Again, that's the normal way of living the Christian life. We have confidence before God. We're told in verse 21, if our heart does not condemn us. And again, as we're resting and trusting in the finished work of Christ, we're assured from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 1, there's now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. No condemnation for those who are trusting in Jesus, who are in union with him by faith. Not only do we have confidence before God, we also see in verse 22, we receive answers to our prayers. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because, and then there are two reasons here, we guard, and literally the idea is to guard, value, or to protect his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And again, these two words are similar. They're not exactly the same, but I think it's important to have that distinction there. Because sometimes what I've heard non-Christians do in different religions will emphasize their obedience. You need to obey, obey, obey. And I'm not saying obedience is not good. But the idea here is there's an attitude before the obedience that follows. And in verse 22, we see that we guard or we keep, we value, we protect We treasure the Word of God. We treasure what God has revealed to us. We treasure His commandments. And therefore, we want to do them. It's not obedience for the sake of, I better obey or else I'm going to get punished. But it's obedience because I love the Word of God. I love the promises that He gives. And therefore, I want to apply them in my life. I want to do the things that I'm told to do. We receive whatever we ask of Him. Again, I know that we live in a culture where people kind of give promises that are beyond what God gives. People encourage us to declare whatever we have need of. And declaring is not the same as praying. Declaring is, I have abundance. Praying is saying, God, if you choose to give me this thing that I think I need, I will accept it from your hand with gratitude. If you choose not to give me this thing that I think I need, I'll also respond with gratitude as well. We know that God knows what's best for us. We trust in Him. We pray to Him. We ask and make known to Him our needs, whatever they might be. Maybe you've heard this. Maybe you've said this. I don't know if God's concerned about these little things in my life. God invites us to bring anything that is a concern to us. Maybe there are times in your life, raising kids, that sometimes you've been busy with something, you haven't wanted to be bothered by something. But usually kids don't stop to say, well, this is not an important thing. It's kind of trivial, so I won't bother mom and dad about it. It's like, I have an owie, I have whatever the case may be, or someone took my property, and it happens to be my brother or my sister, and they like to get that communication quick. They want to share that news. They want their earthly father or their mother to take care of that situation. And even more, we have a loving Heavenly Father who will respond, who will do what we ask Him to do, according, of course, always according to His will and what He knows is best for us. Then as we look at verse 23, we see that we give evidence for our faith by obeying His commandments. Verse 23 says, and this is His commandment. And the broken in two parts, but our relationship toward God and our relationship with one another, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. This is God's will for us. This is what God desires of each one, that we come to penitent faith in Christ, that we stop trusting in our own goodness and our own merits before a holy God and say, no, I trust in the finished work of Christ alone. That is God's will for each and every one of us in all circumstances of life and even especially in the face of death. And then secondly, to love one another just as He has commanded us. Summarizing the teachings of Jesus for His disciples, those who are trusting in Him, those who are following Him, to love one another even as He has loved us. So we can get up in the morning and say, what is God's will for me today? Well, I can be pretty certain that God desires that I trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation. And I can be really certain that God's will for me is to love my wife and my children and those around me. My earthly family, my church family, and those that He has placed in my life. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another just as He has commanded us. Then in verse 24, we see that we experience intimate fellowship with the triune God. In the Trinity, and for our youth group, we're going to talk about this a little bit tonight in our video presentation about sociology, the divine imprint, that in the Trinity we have unity. There's one God in one Godhead, but three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's a mystery beyond our complete understanding, but we see a unity as well as diversity. And in the local body of Christ, we also are called to be one body, but with many members, with different giftings and abilities. And we each have a special place and a special role. None of us in the body of Christ are unimportant. And we together, as well as we individually, can fellowship with the triune God. We give Him praise and worship for who He is and what He's done on our behalf. We see in verse 24, and the one who keeps, and again, this is the same keeping that's the guarding or to value or to protect His commandments, abides in Him, and He in Him, that is Jesus in us. We know by this that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given to us. We have fellowship with the Father, we have fellowship with the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us and helps us to be empowered to live the Christian life. When we come to the end of our resources, we're reminded of the resources that God has for us in Christ. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Not every material blessing, not every physical blessing, but every spiritual blessing. And with the greater gift, God will give the lesser gift as well. He promises to provide for our daily bread, and he invites us to pray for our daily needs in that way as well. It is possible, for a person to know for sure that he or she is going to heaven. It's not prideful to say that. In fact, it's a good way, I believe, to share our faith in Jesus. I'm so glad that I know that I have the gift of eternal life. And see how people respond. Ken, you probably aren't doing that in the supermarket as you're passing by someone. Excuse me, could I tell you? I'm so glad. But you never know when some of those opportunities might come up. Again, I've had some interesting opportunities in supermarkets. God desires us to know with certainty whether or not we have that gift of eternal life. And if we can say honestly, knowing and having this assurance of our salvation through faith in Jesus, it results in being able to live in confident fellowship with God and in love and humble service to our neighbor, especially those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not a striving, it's not a trying harder to keep the Ten Commandments. But it's resting in the finished work of Jesus. And that motivates us to live, motivates us to love God and our neighbor. Not to earn something, not to get something from God in response, but out of gratitude, to show our gratitude toward God, to show that love that he's poured out into our hearts and lives that overflows to others around us. God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Then John said later in this epistle, I write to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you might know that you have eternal life. God wants us to know for certain that our sins have been paid for. And that is not by our own works, but by the works of Jesus Christ. His perfect life, his suffering, death, and resurrection have completed for us all that we need for forgiveness, for that assurance before God, for that confidence of a home in heaven, to be with our loved ones who have died before us, trusting in Christ as well. May that be the confession of our hearts this morning, and our bold confession in the lives of those around us who need so desperately to have that assurance. Assurance of forgiveness of sins, assurance of peace with God, and the confidence of a home in heaven after death. Amen.